crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy, scatty-dee-bop, shabba-dooey.
Welcome to Pork Therapy.
One more time.
One more time.
This is like take seven, but you won't hear the rest.
This is take two, Mike. I think you're being a little melodramatic. I'm going to ostracize you now.
Oh, don't bully me.
That's what we're talking about tonight.
We that have might a very be the fastest short... we've ever gotten to the topic. That was like 13 seconds.
Oh, that's totally a record. You're right. We do have a very short and simple topic tonight, but before we start to blather about it, you can. We want to let you know how you can ask us your own questions. Isn't that right?
That is right.
Well, first of all, we are Pork Therapy, and we are a show where we talk about relationships from a liberty-oriented perspective. And we like communication, persuasion, honesty, all kinds of good stuff like that. And we think that good, happy, healthy relationships are going to form the basis of a voluntary society, which we would all like to achieve in our lifetimes. Right, Mike?
You know, if we talk about relationships from liberty-oriented perspective and make that a mnemonic, it's tarflop.
Tarflop. You know, we could save a lot of time by just saying that every time. Pork what? Therapy, tarflop. Wow. Mike, good job. This is really amazing.
Woo.
Anyway, so if they want to...
ask your own question, yeah. And get
I'm
us.
I'm just flabbergasted by how good that was.
You can send us your questions at questions@porktherapy.com.
Yes, or you can call us and leave us a voicemail in your wonderful voice.
At what number?
Tell us your, yeah, 419
PT Love 4.
4, yes. And give Ooh. Us your best acronyms that you think would describe our show. Anyway, and it's true. Our theme song says, you know, you can call us, you can leave a joke, a comment, or something more. So in this case, it would be something more if you leave us your favorite acronym that you think describes us. So please do feel free to do that. And anyway, we would also love to get your questions. We would love to have you as a guest on the show if you're so inclined. And I guess we'll get into the topic now, right, Mike?
Sure. Finally. We've actually touched on it in second 13.
We did.
Which is, what is the difference between ostracism and bullying?
Right, that was our question. They're very short and sweet, right?
The question is short and sweet.
Beat around the bush.
They didn't, but then they clarified and they said, as an example, if you ostracize someone and they can't take it and they kill themselves, are you bullying them? Or they cry or whatever, they hurt psychologically, are you bullying them?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what they meant.
The question asker compared this to the like historical mistreatment of gay people, where they were basically made fun of, and I think the question asker would say they were ostracized, but they were really badly treated by a lot of people in society, and you know the suicide rates were really high, and they you know had a lot of emotional trauma because of the way that they were treated.
Right.
So, okay, Mike, what do you think? What you kind of paused on that. Do you think I misspoke?
No, I don't think you misspoke, but I think no one can make you feel something. You choose to feel something. So if you feel poorly or bad or sad or embarrassed, that's your issues. Even if someone is hurling insults at you, you can choose to ignore them. You can take a positive approach. You can do all kinds of things. You don't have to be hurt by them.
Yes, I agree. And it is very, like, empowering to realize that you own control over your own feelings, and that if someone is being a jerk to you, you don't have to let that get to you. But at the same time, like, I do want to acknowledge how difficult it is.
Yeah.
If you don't know that, like, if you don't know that you have that power, really, and you're constantly in an environment where you're being abused, insulted, put down, and things like that. It's really tough to live that way.
And I didn't mean to insinuate that it justified the abuse.
Oh,
just that
no way.
You are in control of your own emotions.
Yes.
So, what is the difference then between bullying and ostracism? Because I think there is one.
I think there is one too. And, okay, well, what do you think, first of all, Mike?
Well, I think there are numerous ways to ostracize.
Mm-hmm.
And
some
in
better
fact,
than others.
Bullying might even be considered a form of ostracism, or at least in some cases. But it's not a good one.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider it a very ethical one,
no.
For sure.
Or an effective one.
Right, or an effective
one. So ostracism, in my opinion, is exclusion...
From association?
From the masses.
Yeah.
Right, not... I guess you can ostracize someone from your own personal life. It's not very effective. But ostracism, as I see it, is trying to get widespread information about the truth of a situation so that people will not want to associate with someone.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you can only control what you do and what your actions are. So you can ostracize someone and maybe nobody else ostracizes them. And of course, it's not going to be that effective. But
right.
You can always choose not to associate with someone.
Right.
Right? But if, you know, your entire community chooses to not associate with someone, it's going to be a lot different for that person who's being ostracized than if just Mike decides to not associate with that
And
anymore.
If only half of the community or society chooses to ostracize or not associate, it may or may not be effective,
sure.
Depending on who and how.
And for that matter, if Mike is ostracizing his former best friend, that might be different than if Mike is ostracizing somebody that he sees at the gym once a week, you know?
And if Joe is... Oh, let me use a better name. If Alice is ostracizing Bob, and Alice is known to be a liar and a complainer and a fraud, it's going to be far less effective ostracism than if Charlie ostracized Bob, who's always known as upholding the truth and helping the community.
Sure. So there are multiple kind of different facets and layers.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, we should probably clarify, right? I think there are problems with the concept and the system of ostracism.
Yes, unfortunately.
Including the difficulty in getting accurate information to people about situations and... you know,
and reputation itself has a problem because someone with a pristine reputation who's honestly earned it could also just wham, throw out a lie and everyone's going to believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but hopefully that won't
hold
up for
throw out
long.
Misinformation even by accident and everyone's going to believe it.
Right.
Yeah.
But that works like the first time, but then after, you know, five times. But
yeah,
sure. I mean, that is a problem too. That's often cited. So, but the difference between ostracism and bullying, to get back to the question, in my opinion, ostracism... at least should involve some element of letting the person who's being ostracized know why you are choosing not to associate with them. So if you're, for example, if you know someone who is racist, let's say, you wouldn't just, I think it's much more effective rather than just stopping talking to them to say, it's much more effective to say something like, you know, I've heard you say some comments that I really thought were demonstrating that you are racist, and I think that's really unfortunate, and I can't have someone in my life who hates other people because of their outward appearance or the color of their skin. And so, unless you are willing to reconsider that bad idea, I will no longer be speaking to you or buying anything from you or associating with you in any way. What do you think about that? And I'm going to tell other people.
Okay, that's the part. So the first part... Before you said, I'm going to tell other people, that mm-hmm. sounds like a healthy way to deal with that relationship that you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's necessarily ostracism. Or maybe it's very personal, individual ostracism.
Mm-hmm.
But then you said, and I'll tell other people. And that's like saying, okay, and I'm going to let all these other people know that you behave racistically, that you're a racist.
You're a racist,
and
yeah.
That you have racist tendencies and that you don't, you know, you own a restaurant, but you don't let blacks in there or whatever. I'm going to let people know and then they can choose to deal with you as they will, as they want. And
yeah.
That's where I think the benefit of ostracism comes in, because if there's a large number of people in the community or society that hear what's going on, oh, this guy doesn't sell food to blacks and they think it's disgusting, no violence needs to happen. But maybe the grocer won't sell him food, and the racist food, and maybe the gas station won't sell him gas, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you know, the babysitter won't go over and babysit for the racist anymore.
Right.
And then the racist life is much more troublesome. And he knows why, and no one was hurt, and no one was threatened with a gun or jail,
mm-hmm.
and no one had to give money to some third party, the government.
Right. And even if it doesn't work to inspire the racist to reconsider his behavior or reconsider his racism or whatever.
Right.
Even if that doesn't work, at the very least, you, the person who is ostracizing, doesn't have to any longer associate yourself with someone you find distasteful, right?
Right. Now, I guess I'm kind of going on a rant on what ostracism is, or I guess whether or not it's effective. But really the question is it bullying? And I don't see it as bullying. It's almost literally not bullying because you're not associating with someone. You're not associating with them in a different way. You're telling people that you are not associating with them and suggesting they don't as well.
Well, here's an interesting idea. Yeah, I think you're right, Mike, first of all. I think ostracism is actually kind of the opposite of bullying.
Yeah.
Because I think bullying arises when people are put into these situations where they're forced to associate with each other. And maybe they wouldn't normally do that. Like school.
Government or jail, school. Or the same
jail
thing.
Or the military. Those are the three that come to mind. Those are the three situations in which bullying and things like hazing are the most prevalent because,
you're forced to be there.
You're forced to be there, yeah, and you're forced to be around these people. And, you know, it would be great if you're a kid, let's say you're a nerd or whatever, and you have bullies that are picking on you, well, you'd probably want to remove yourself from that situation. You wouldn't want to associate with them anymore, right? But you can't do that at government school. And so it just creates this environment where bullying thrives and keeps being perpetuated.
I agree with you, but if the kids were not brainwashed by this indoctrination center called government school, they might have been taught that techniques of ostracism. I mean, even though you're forced to be there, ostracism could work amongst that little community, right?
Mm-hmm.
It, in fact, it can work in jail.
Yeah,
you're forced to be there.
True.
So I agree with you that it's a bad environment. Bullying thrives in those forced environments.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that ostracism wouldn't or couldn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
They just don't know about it because it's not, healthy communication's not taught by government.
I just think it's really hard to disassociate yourself completely from someone who, it's compulsory to go to school.
Right.
You have to be there every day.
Yeah.
So at the very least, you're going to be in the same building or the same room with them.
Right.
Every day, and you really can't help that. So
that's
why
true.
I said I thought it was the opposite, but
yeah, I agree with you that
yeah.
I think ostracism, or at least healthy, effective ostracism, is almost the opposite of bullying.
Yeah.
In fact, it's in response to being bullied sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. Well, okay, so here's another element of this. Do you think that bullying often basically has very little rhyme or reason to it, no logical basis, whereas ostracism often does have a logical basis for it?
Well, it depends on what you mean, because I can see bullies coming up with... I'll get to your example in a minute.
Okay.
I can see bullies coming up with all kinds of reasons why they beat someone up and steal their lunch money or whatever. That doesn't mean... So that's logic. That doesn't mean it's
good logic.
Yes.
Sound logic.
Sound logic. It doesn't mean it's sound, but they might have their reasons. So what's your example?
Yeah, I guess that's true. Okay, so I'm thinking of bullying. The kids who get bullied in government schools, because this is where it happens most, often it's for reasons like, well, this person is a nerd. They're socially awkward.
Yeah.
They're smart. They're different. They have glasses where everybody else doesn't, or whatever. You know, just some reason along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas ostracism is more of a conscious process. It's like, okay, well, I don't care if you're a nerd. I don't care if you wear glasses or are gay or whatever.
Matter if you're black or white.
Exactly. I love it when Mike sings. And Mike was singing an MJ song, right?
Yeah. Mike is singing Mike.
Mike is singing Mike. But anyway, but if you're ostracizing someone, it's usually for a reason like, I think you acted immorally, so I don't want to associate with you. There's nothing immoral about wearing glasses. I mean, maybe somebody who bullies the nerd
and also,
thinks that they don't like the nerd's glasses or they don't like the way that they act socially or whatever.
And also look at the effectiveness. Well, I can't say bullying is effective because you'll lose in the long run as a bully.
Yeah.
But look at ostracism. If someone was trying to ostracize Frank because he wore glasses and told the whole community, you shouldn't associate him because he wears glasses, how many people are going to participate with you and ostracize this guy?
I hope very few.
Hopefully very few, and likely some would choose to ostracize you for being so...
Such a jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah. For having that dumb reason for ostracizing.
Right, so...
Does our peanut have a comment? No, the peanut's just yawning because we're boring.
I couldn't tell if it was a giggle or a yawn. Maybe it was a gig-on.
A gig-on, exactly.
Okay, I want to pull way off topic.
Okay.
Okay?
That's what we do best.
This is going to just be weird. All right, but let's say that somebody was a... Let's say that they were actually ostracizing them because they believed The glasses show that they're nearsighted, and therefore...
It's inferior.
Inferior.
Okay.
To the gene pool.
All right.
And they get enough people to agree with them on that,
as that is a problem.
History says,
mm-hmm.
it has happened.
Yes.
So where do you go from there?
I was thinking of that. I don't know where you go from there. And actually, Stephanie addressed that in the very beginning, or at least pointed it out by saying...
With race. The race issue.
Well, you just said that there are problems with ostracism, and one of them is that it's basically majority rule.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not forced upon anyone. There's no force involved, theoretically, right? This, you know, 51% or 80% or whatever of the population might think, if you wear glasses, you're inferior and you must be shunned. There's not necessarily any force, even if the majority of the people are stupid.
Okay, and then, and here's a continuation on that point.
Yeah.
I've heard people say that the way this would be most optimal in a free market is that no one would sell them food, no one would rent them a place to live, so then eventually they die. Mm. So without saying it, if your goal is literally agree with us or die, then what is really the difference between just killing them?
Actually, I don't think that's the goal.
They get together with all the other glasses wearers, you know?
Wait a minute, what about a middle ground where... Let's say he's actually doing something immoral, like stealing.
Yeah.
And I don't think ostracism is necessarily saying agree with us or die. It could be agree with us or leave,
right.
Or compromise,
yeah.
Or change,
or reconsider, your...
or come up with an alternative position to ours,
yeah.
Or convince more people than us. Could be any one of those. It doesn't have to be.
Or it could
our
just
way
be
or the
a
highway.
Problem with ostracism.
It's definitely there are problems with ostracism and reputation.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I would like to think that people wouldn't fall for that idea.
But that's baloney. Because
voters. It's actually not baloney because, okay, so there definitely were some really bigoted people in history who ostracized people because of the color of their skin,
mm-hmm.
right? But there were also people who spoke out against that and tried mm-hmm. to tell why that was a bad idea, and the concept of hating someone just because of their skin color is ridiculous, right?
So
there's kind of a counter voice that's being heard.
What happens over the history of humanity is happening either less severely or less frequently as time passes, because it's happened throughout history, and there's been times where the majority of people went along with, whether they agreed or not, went along with this. Let's call it bad ostracism. You know, I don't know exactly what we're dealing with, right? Ostracizing someone because of being... they wear glass.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
There's been periods in history where the majority of a community agreed with that, and then perhaps enough people stood up so that it stopped,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So how is humanity progressing? Are we getting better at this? Or does it happen less frequently? Does it happen less severely each time? I don't know. I'm asking. I don't know.
Well, I mean... I think that, in general, the bad meme of racism has diminished over time, don't you think? I mean, it's certainly been slower than I would like, but I think as time has gone on...
Well, I know in the Western culture it has. What about in other countries right now? Are there any racist civil wars going on right now?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
That's today.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Are they smaller? Are they less severe than those in the past? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Maybe I can't judge humanity by... Well, that doesn't make sense. Humanity by the whole of humanity, because they're all these different communities.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know how to measure that. It's definitely a problem.
Right. Like you said, all the glasses wearers could get together. Well,
mm-hmm.
that's exactly what happens. What will happen if enough racists get ostracized? I find it very unlikely that they're going to rethink their lifelong positions and the values that they were raised in. It's just more likely that they're going to find enough people like themselves to go and be successful on their own. And
but why is that? I don't see that as unsuccessful ostracism. Because if you've got a society,
yes.
let's just be silly and say there's 100 people in the society and there's two racists, and say 80 of the other people ostracize them enough. They don't sell them groceries. They don't sell them gas. And so these two racists really can't live in this society. So the two racists meet each other accidentally and drive 10 miles out of town and set up their own community. And suddenly some racists from nearby cities join them, and then they grow. And then there's a small community of 20 racists. And they have enough racists now in their own little community to make gas, to grow their own groceries, to survive happily and healthily amongst themselves, a bunch of racists.
Right.
Ta-da! There was no violence, and now the
society... non-racists don't have to deal with them.
And... the society that didn't want racists don't have them, and the society who wants to be racist don't have their blacks involved or their glasses wearers involved, and no force was applied. Is that a failure?
I guess not. And will it actually go that far,
though? Who knows?
Because as soon as... you have to keep in mind that as soon as you refuse to sell them and enough people refuse to sell them, all of a sudden... there's demand, and now there's room for arbitrage. Yep. There's huge profit margins for me to buy from you and sell to racists.
Well, that's true, but look what would happen there. If ostracism had been effective so far, why wouldn't it continue? And people say, this guy is just making money by selling to racists. No one's selling him food. It's not even really a daisy chain. It's like the same ripple in the water, really.
It is a daisy chain, because as soon as assuming that's me, you're in the same dynamics as you are with the drug war. As soon the demand is there, and as soon as somebody's going to fill it, you take that dealer off the street, another one's going to take its place. Assuming you manage to successfully ostracize me for buying from you and selling to racists, there's such a huge margin that it's just going to get filled by someone else.
I can see that, but let's say 90 people out of this 100, or let's say 90% of a population wants to see racists gone. Do you think the 10% that remains can supply, can fill those niches enough to supply the racists? Or will they have to leave in order to even have enough groceries to live? However, if only 50% of the community wants to get rid of the racists, then not even enough people are ostracizing. And the other 50%, or one or two of them, might be the youths who say, wow, I can make a ton of money selling food to racists, and they'll prosper. That's another flaw. Or maybe that's the same flaw.
Well, ostracism also doesn't exist in a bubble. You know, if there actually are racists in society, there would not only be people ostracizing them who disagree with their racism, but also there would be people reaching out to them, right? Kind of, like trying change their minds, right?
That's true.
I mean,
spam them with junk mail.
Well, well, sure. Like, there are some people who are so set in their ways and so infected with this these horrible memes of, like, you know, for instance, racism, but I don't think some racists are just ignorant, right? Some of them are just
some races?
Racists.
Oh.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
I heard wrong.
Some racists are just ignorant.
Okay.
And they
only
have those views because that's how they were raised and that's how their families were, and so
they just repeat it.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you could persuade them to reconsider and say something to them and somehow reach them with the message of, well, what does it really matter what color someone is? Does that really affect how they are as a person? Can a person be a good person and be a different color as you? Then, you know, I think there are a lot of people who would reconsider that bad point of view. Right?
There probably are. I mean, there certainly are, because we hear every day of a person who has one belief who said, I used to believe the opposite and then I changed.
Yes.
No, not everyone can change. Not everyone wants to, but there certainly are out there.
Yeah. And maybe maybe ostracism works in conjunction with outreach, you know? Maybe they're feeling a little bit of pressure from ostracism, and so they're more open to considering changing their
unpopular view. That's right. That's a good point, that maybe ostracism doesn't stop with letting the public know what's going on and determining whether to deal with this person, but it also includes attempt at persuasion and education.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Or maybe that's just voluntary and some people will choose to do that and it like adds on to ostracism. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I consider it a separate thing, but the point is that ostracism doesn't exist alone, and there are other methods of dealing with people who are behaving undesirably, I guess.
So are any of these examples and scenarios and methods, I guess, we've talked about bullying?
That's a good question. I guess that was what the question asker was answering, and I don't think they're bullying. I don't think it's bullying to do outreach to someone. Bullying to me seems to connote meanness or doing it like the bully is bullying because they themselves want to feel better at someone else's expense. It's like a false self. It's a pseudo self-esteem thing. They want to dominate or hurt someone else because they have a need to feel
superior,
or to feel important, or to feel heard or recognized. So they're getting that need met in a bad, destructive way, But they're doing it because they have an unmet need, right? Yeah. They feel a void. So they have to fill it by hurting someone else.
And
so ostracism isn't really...
It's the opposite. It's like retaliating for having been hurt. Or...
removing yourself from the hurt.
Okay,
Yeah, I think it's... I think ostracism doesn't really have much... I mean, maybe the person who is ostracizing someone else feels a little bit of moral superiority or feels some kind of gratification and says, oh, yeah, that bad person is out of my life. You know, I'm helping to make society better by not associating with this bad guy, right? But it's not the same as the bully who needs to hurt someone else in order to feel good about himself. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you can see that. I don't know if that's universal. I guess it probably is pretty close.
Hmm.
So, Peanut, you brought up some examples where ostracism either could fail or would be pointless, or I guess gray line areas of whether it's bullying. What do you think? Is ostracism bullying, or are types of it bullying?
It's a complicated situation, but another example is, let's say that you did ostracize XYZ person.
Yep.
Who, like, was really the worst of the worst,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Again, how far are you going to go through with that? What if you're going down the road, and he's broke down by the side of the road, and it's freezing cold outside, and if you continue on, you know, are you going to say, well, you know...
Yeah, I mean...
You're going to continue on, he's going to freeze to death?
Mm-hmm.
You know. I can see myself doing that in the worst of the worst, because I picture a murderer or a rapist or something, and I would not help them in any way.
No, I'm not saying that you have an obligation to.
Exactly, that's my mm-hmm. point. So... if you don't have an obligation to help them, and you're driving down the road and you see a very violent bully who's going to freeze if you don't help them, how is that bullying them? You may not feel good about it, I guess. It's up to the individual, but are you actually bullying someone if you choose not to help someone that you have no obligation to help?
I don't think so. I don't know. Do we have a working definition of bullying here?
I don't think we've
I guess
we've
what Stephanie's said one, Stephanie but... I guess the one we're working off is the one that Stephanie just used. Which is
mistreating someone else in order to gain a sense of...
for an arbitrary reason, right?
For an arbitrary reason, right, in order to gain a sense of... to puff oneself up. Yeah.
So their motivation is part of the definition?
I think so. What do you think? I mean, do you like that definition of bullying, Peanut?
I see where it can be applicable.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. No, motivations matter, for sure.
I was just wondering, though, does it in the definition of bullying? I mean, let's say I'm walking past a schoolyard, that I've never been into this town before, and I'm walking past a schoolyard, and I see a larger child push a smaller child to the ground and grab their backpack and dump it out and walk away.
Yeah.
I know bullying has happened. I have no idea why.
Mm-hmm.
So does motivation matter to the definition of bullying?
Hmm. Yeah, maybe not. But, I mean, don't you think that in that situation, you're assuming that that old, like, bigger kid is not pushing the smaller kid because the smaller kid is a murderer,
right?
You're assuming that...
I'm assuming that it's because
he's... That's because he's smaller.
Yeah.
Right? So I think the motivation is part of that.
I could... Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I could certainly be wrong in my assumption. It could be that the big kid was just finally getting back at the actual bully of the school, the little kid.
Yeah.
But... it's not only unlikely, I just don't know. I'm assuming the opposite.
Well, and also, like, that scenario that you described is violent, right? The big kid is pushing the small kid and then disrespecting his property rights by taking his backpack and messing it up.
Mm-hmm. That's not ostracism, right?
Right.
That's...
ostracism does not involve a violation of property
rights. No violence, actually.
Yeah, and no physical violence and no disrespect of property rights. So in that case, it's a clear distinction.
And maybe that is the difference. Maybe that's the key right there, that bullying involves violence and hence aggression.
Yeah, involves initiation of violence, right?
And ostracism...
Right, but it seems like now in today's climate... they are redefining bullying, certainly with the legislation being passed.
Yeah,
on the internet. To simply mean...
Yes, but when is government right?
Being verbally abusive to someone.
Yeah.
But legislation means nothing. I mean, they can and have written anything on paper, and it's a law, but that doesn't make it right or even correct.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not say that is a good definition of bullying, the fact that some anonymous person can type something onto the internet, you know, from any anonymous terminal, wherever, and if someone is offended, that they've been bullied by this anonymous person. I would not say that's an appropriate definition.
Okay, but if you went to school and 50 out of 60 people said, hi, anonymous, whatever, generic insult, hi, generic insult, hi, generic insult. Of course,
you mean,
as
like,
you said, you're forced to be there.
Yeah.
And you're forced to put up with that abuse all day long, even if it doesn't turn physically violent and they don't. Is that still not bullying?
Yeah, I mean...
You mean generic insult like black kid or glasses-wearing kid?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you
it's
did...
Very,
you
very
did,
hard on the psyche.
It is very hard on the psyche, but you did also mention the force involved. It may not be from those kids yelling out the racist epithets, but you're forced to be in school.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's where the force comes into the bullying in that case.
Yeah, I think that that is part of it.
Maybe, as a matter of fact,
and
as
also
matter of fact,
the intention...
that even might be a separate bullying. You're forced to be in school.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in school. I don't want my kid to go to school. And being bullied into putting them in school.
Yeah, threatened with force, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I kind of lost my train of thought.
Sorry.
But no, we're back to intent again. I think the intent matters.
I think you're
the people who are hurling racist epithets at a kid who's forced to be at school are wanting to hurt that kid.
For whatever reason.
For whatever reason, right. But, like, if they're ostracizing him, they're not... I mean, they're just not talking to him.
Right,
not
they're wanting to either avoid or help persuade.
I think, yeah, I mean, I think...
Or both.
Maybe there is some crossover there. You know, maybe sometimes ostracism involves name-calling or harsh words or something like that. But in my mind, ostracism is ideally something that, you know, you explain to the person you're ostracizing what your issue is with them, and then you refuse to associate. It's kind of neutral. It's not done with intent to hurt. You're just letting them know, look, I'm sorry, I'm not going to associate with you in any way anymore. Unless you change your behavior, then I would reconsider. Right?
And I'm going to tell people.
And I'm going to tell people. Yeah, see, when I gave that example before, I was thinking of somebody... saying that in a public forum.
Oh, right.
You know,
and so everyone
saying,
would see it. Yeah,
I'm talking to the peanut that I'm ostracizing, right? I cannot in good conscience associate with you because you have eaten another peanut, so therefore you are a cannibal and I disagree with cannibalism, so I'm going to ostracize you. And I'm saying that on Facebook, right?
So everyone
everybody
can see.
Okay. Right. That's what I was thinking, but... Anyway, I don't know. What do you think? Is ostracism different than bullying?
I think it's very different. Although, again, perhaps you could bully someone as a form of ostracism. It wouldn't be effective. It wouldn't be moral or good. But generally, I think bullying is arbitrary initiation of aggression for arbitrary reasons.
Yeah.
And ostracism is the attempt to extricate yourself from aggression. Mm-hmm. And to let other people know to try and hope, try and do like mass persuasion for the aggression to stop.
Right.
Might even be passive persuasion, actually. Maybe. So I do not think they are the same. I think they're almost opposites.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent.
All right, so if you want to ostracize us, then don't go to our website, porktherapy.com.
And don't send an email to questions@porktherapy.com.
No way. Because
then we'd hear it.
You do not want to associate with us. We are dangerous individuals.
That's right.
We have some dangerous ideas. Anyway.
And if you don't like glasses wearers, then don't email Stephanie@porktherapy.com.
Indeed. And if you don't like people with beards, definitely stay away from Mike@porktherapy.com. Don't email him and tell him how much you like his goatee because... you're ostracized.
And if you think people should stop listening to our show, then definitely don't call 419-PT-LOVE-4 and let us know.
No way. And do not go to LRN.FM, whatever you do. That would be like the carnal...
That's the penultimate sin. The ultimate sin would be to not go to our website and listen to our past shows. That would be absolute last thing you'd want to do.
Oh, blasphemy. anyway, Mike...
Alright, no thanks for listening. No, wait.
I think we should say goodbye.
Bye, everybody. Thank
you.
See you
next time. Bye.
They're two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench. Cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy. Advice this good is a rarity. It's cool. An introspective relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy, scatolity bop, shabadooey.